Hello everyone. Welcome to a new episode of WITS Mumbai Podcasts. I am Hitanshi Desai and I will be the host for today's episode. The Women in Data Science Initiative, abbreviated as WITS, aims to inspire and educate data scientists worldwide, regardless of gender, and support women in the field. WITS Mumbai is an independent event organized by WITS ambassadors to coincide with the annual Global WITS Conference held at Stanford University and an estimated 150 plus locations worldwide. You can find more information about WITS Mumbai on our website. You can attend the series of this year's webinars on YouTube at the handle WITS Mumbai. WITS Mumbai podcast series features data scientists, gives insight about their work, advices, journey, and lessons learned along the way. So let's get started. Joining me in today's episode is Tanvi Purohit. She is a data strategist, was a manager at Group Strategy Mahindra with over 8+ years of experience in the field. Hi Tanvi, thank you so much for joining us today. Could you please introduce yourself in brief?
Yeah, sure. So hello team. So this is Tanvi. And something about me, so yeah, as Hitanshi said, like I'm about 8 years into the field of data and business analytics for a while. And yeah, it has been really a terrific journey. So like a lot of multi-level transitions I did in my whole eight years, right? Like from consultancy, I moved to brands like Deloitte, then I moved to conglomerates like Mahindra & Mahindra, and now currently I'm working for a health tech startup. So the health tech startup is named as DocOn, and we basically are into digitizing the whole experience of a doctor and a patient. So it's basically like when we visit the doctor and the prescriptions are getting, you know, generated, like doctor writes a note of list of medicines for you. So this whole experience now will be digitized using this app called as DocOn. And the interesting thing about this whole thing is, I mean, definitely it sounds like a very small statement that we are digitizing the whole doctor-patient experience. But more than that, I feel it is, you know, basically helping us solve a very critical problem of our country, which is the doctor-patient ratio. So the doctor-patient ratio right now is horribly screwed. So look at the numbers, it's basically like one doctor is to 1,000 patients across the country. I mean, that's really and horrible number to, you know, even grasp. When I learned about this, it was like, oh my God, what is this? So I mean, this is a very interesting problem to solve. How do we solve it? Basically, it's all the game of optimization by using the digitized platform that we have, that the organization has built. Basically, it helps us cut down on the consultation time, and at the same time, it is helping us capture all the historical information of the patient, and in such a way, it actually ends into a very, very smooth journey or smooth conversation between a doctor and a patient. And the interesting thing I would say about the current role is like, I am into it when the country needs it. That's what I always feel. I mean, yeah. Health tech is at its pivotal phase. Everything, nobody ever thought like health tech will ever think or other ever see this digitization phase. And this is happening today. So everything is getting converted into a teleconsultation or a video consultation kind of a platform wherein everything is, like all the visits and everything are happening on a video. And yeah, this is really a very exciting thing altogether. I mean, yeah. So here I am right now leading the business analytics vertical. And basically I'm helping them to solve a lot of business specific problems like sales, marketing, customer retention, customer onboarding. And yeah, I mean, such are the statements, data science specific statements that we are right now trying to address.
Okay. So,
that's about me.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting what you are doing right now. So, is it just with the prescriptions that the doctors will be giving it to the patients, or is it something the reports as well, that the reports will be read directly and it will be conveyed to the patient whether it is okay or something is missing or something like that?
I mean, basically it is currently is in a form like the whole manual thing that used to happen, right? You go to a doctor and he writes something on a piece of paper. Now that whole experience is first of all digitized. You have an app, so doctor can, have a conversation with you, analyze your symptoms, and based on the symptoms, diagnosis are, you know, actually diagnosed using AI type algorithms and everything. Oh. And then based on that, the medication is also suggested using all of such algorithms. And that's how the app is actually is designed. It's a very beautiful app. Like it is so much user friendly that the whole experience becomes very enjoyable. And more than that, the prescription that gets generated is actually, you know, transferred to patient, and it also stays with the doctor. So how does it transfer to the patient? Either via email or through his mobile number. So it just goes to him. And then it's like available with him on, you know, just one click. It's never the situation like mera prescription lost ho gaya and now I'm not able to get the medicine because I don't have that parchi which is given by the doctor.
Yeah.
So this situation is solved. And as you like said, like what about the reports? Yeah, definitely. I mean, that is a area where right now the solution is not completely designed, but we also record a lot of diagnostic data. That the patient shares. It's not automated as such. I mean, it's not like you go to a metropolis and you do some tests and the test results are directly thrown onto our app. This is not something that is happening right now, but definitely a very interesting use case to solve if you know, such synergies happen in the future.
Yeah. So actually I read about this somewhere that there could be a machine which can be helpful for, I guess there's a machine similar to that, what I'm talking right now. In the US, that you go to the machine, you enter your symptoms, get yourself clicked and all, and then they will diagnose you with what do you have.
Mm-hmm.
So if it is mild, some things, then it will prescribe you the medicines as well. So as the number of doctors are less, you might not have to stand in queues. You might not have to find which is a better doctor or something. The machines are working really fine or with the help of AI.
I have heard about such things, technologies, but honestly speaking, at least DocOn does not encourage anything of this sort where the doctor is, you know, pulled
not
out.
Not available, yeah.
Because ultimately, I mean, at least for our demographics, I feel where self-medication is always like the first priority that everybody thinks of. This is absolutely something, a chaos that we will create. So definitely we should not opt for such solutions, and we also don't encourage as an organization. Our whole priority is basically, can we make our doctors more productive? So it's like if you have to solve this ratio of 1:1,000, the one option that you have is increase the doctors or basically reduce the time that every consult is taking right now.
Yeah.
And increasing the doctors is not something which can happen overnight. So it is a phased thing which may take like decades to solve. So that is not definitely the target, like eliminate doctor at any point in time. But if possible, ease his whole workload so that, you know, the whole experience becomes enjoyable. And more than that, the patient is always carrying all his historic information with him. Like,
Anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah, right from his birth till the lifetime, and that's the whole.
It's a very great initiative.
Yes,
very interesting.
I agree with that. I mean that was the whole reason I feel I could leave my earlier organization.
Yeah,
which was like an amazing experience in my lifetime. I would have never got I really can't imagine like if I would not have joined Mahindra & Mahindra. I mean, when would I have got that experience in life? But
So could you tell us, how did you begin your journey in the field of technology?
I would say it was just a chance. I would say, I mean, you pass out of your HSC and undergrad, and that's like a very typical thing in at least in India, wherein you have to do your HSC, you have to opt for either science, maths, or your commerce or arts, and then everything just flows like, just it's like everybody is doing a very similar thing, and that's how the process has been for me also. It was just a chance that I ended up doing my comm science. And honestly speaking, I'm not an Allure coder at all. I mean, I'm not, and I would never call myself an, you know, somebody who can code very beautifully. But definitely data has always amused me. I mean, what I would say is, like, since my engineering, I was very clear, I'm not an excellent coder, but I am an excellent analyst, which can help me basically read between the lines in the, you know, in this whole flow of data, and in this basic, what you can say is basically like, yeah, I would say huge amount of data, and then in that whole situation, it becomes very similar to, you know, like, I would say
someone who is interested in making the data speak.
Yeah, you actually
very rather than bombarding.
Yes.
On the people that there's a lot of data.
Yes, there's a lot of data, and at the same time, the whole experience, I would say, at least for me, has been like, it is very similar to, you know, chasing an oasis in the desert. Like, I started liking the data, I learned something about data, then eventually I started going a little deep, then into data-centric technologies, and steady, thoda aur karke, I steadily now am working into this data science and data science specific fields. So yeah, I mean, it has been a very interesting journey, that steady, every time on a job, using cases and real-time problems, I learned a new technique and then mastered it. So that's how, I mean.
Yeah, so that can be a pretty path where we can follow that. Start with one thing and go ahead into that rather than jumping onto multiple things.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that has to be. So, as you said, like, it, everything needs some specific amount of focus. And if that focus is, you know, if diverted to even some extent, you actually end up doing something very, very, or other, something which was not even thought about. So, take something, perceive it to the fullest as far as possible, and then move to something new.
Yeah. So, when you started with this, was it challenging, or you were like much comfortable with it going ahead?
You mean started as a data science?
Data scientist, yes.
I would say, I mean, this whole thing, data scientist itself, you know, I feel is like a overburdened, and I feel it's a burden on the shoulders, because I seriously feel a data scientist requires like immense amount of knowledge, not only in terms of algorithms, but it also in terms of mathematics, also in terms of, you know, the theories, also in terms of understanding in-depth working of the whole processes. So I don't think, I mean, the way it is right now, you know, used in the industry, the rate at which people have started calling them data scientists is really right or wrong. I should not, I mean, definitely I don't discourage, but that is definitely a overhyped term, I would say. But the most challenging part, if you ask me what was the most challenging thing, then I would say, you know, basically, how do I derive impact out of whatever is happening right now? So driving impact out of the data is something I feel is the most difficult thing, because, you know, basically, like, numbers and algorithms and everything will be there. Beyond that, you have to do a voracious reading of the theory, the techniques that actually go. And then you have to use all of these things to jigsaw puzzle with the real life problems.
Yeah.
And it's basically like, till the time you don't actually solve something real life, it actually is like you are just doing a Kaggle problem.
Like
you have a huge amount of data, you know what is train, you know what is test, you know what, you know, some boosting algorithm is definitely going to give you with a good predictions. And that is not something actually works in the real time, right? I mean, that is the, I feel, is the most challenging piece of this whole data science journey. That jigsaw puzzle your knowledge, your techniques, your theories, your mathematics with the real-time problem. And actually, that's an art. We actually master it as and when we, you know, practice more and more into it.
That's how experience comes, great knowledge.
Well said.
So, in your journey as a data scientist, did you have a mentor to guide you through this journey, or you explored on your own?
Very interesting one, I would say. I mean, I personally feel that the world is so much evolving today that, you know, it is very difficult to say that you have one mentor in all walks of life. It is very difficult. I'm thankful that, really, I'm very thankful that I got many mentors, like, around me. And more than that, I also feel that it is very difficult to have this one-on-one sessions with great, you know, leaders or great people in the industry who you desire to actually talk with. I mean, you will always feel that in your organization or in your community or in your surrounding, you'll always feel that, you know, what if I get like 1 hour of time with this particular person? Maybe, you know, it will add a lot of value to
me. Yeah, it can be a game changer. You can grow a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like at times you have to keep listening to them. It's like they speak and you have to just listen and you learn a lot. So, I mean, the whole thing of this mentorship, I feel, is like observation. I mean, observation becomes the veto power here. I mean, more closely you start observing your peers, your seniors, your juniors, you actually learn a lot. And you then in the process, you also have a lot to give back also. And that's how I actually view this process of mentorship or this whole concept altogether. Neither less to say, I mean, I am really thankful that I got really good people to work with till date. My favorites are still my seniors from Mahindra and Mahindra. I mean, yeah, they have just taught me a lot of things in life. I mean, maybe I would say that has been like the aha moment for me when I have to talk about mentorship.
Nice, great.
More than that, you know, I mean, you are when you're mentioning this whole topic of mentorship, it is not only just the technology piece or the data science piece or something that you are working into that is to learn. It is also more about like how do you handle the you know, the criticism, or I would say how would you handle a particular situation when it goes for a toss. So all these are the things, and that really needs, I feel, very close observation, and more than that, deep self introspection. If you have these two qualities blended, right? I mean, observation combined with your deep introspection, it is going to help you a lot, and eventually you will learn, evolve, and, you know, go to the next step of your desires or of your career or whatever, I mean, work you're doing. So yeah. That's.
I am taking down notes right now.
No. I can share if you want me to write this down. I'm cool.
Yeah. So you have written a blog, or what I can say, an article on analytics with Yale, right? How is learning and implementing it for real life scenarios is different? Mm-hmm. So is it the same example you want to give of the Kaggle and the solving the real life problems which you mentioned right now?
Definitely. I mean, solving a real time problem is way too different from what is available at Kaggle or any of the hackathons. That does not mean that you should not participate in hackathons or Kaggle like competitions, because these are the platforms which teach you a lot and lot about, you know, what is happening across the world. So it's basically like, see, when I view these platforms like Kaggle and such hackathon platforms, maybe Analytics Vidya is also one of them, they are putting out problems or problem statements which are somewhere happening in some part of the world. So definitely the data that comes out is much in a clean fashion, that is much, you know, something where you can directly start applying the data science principles altogether. But when you actually go back to the real-time problems or industry problems, they are very different. I would say, I mean, it never starts from this, you know, readily available fresh piece of data, jahan se you can just start looking out for imputations and then do some sort of data cleaning and then some sort of segmentation, categorization, and then immediately, you know, it's like apply the algorithm. This never works. So if I have to explain in a very, you know, very simple language, if you have to solve a hackathon or a Kaggle type competition, the time span that you have is like 2 days or maybe a week.
Yeah.
But in real time, the problems can actually go from 1 month, 3 months to over a year.
Years. So
that actually explains a lot. I mean, there is a lot that happens before even you start applying your algorithms. So that whole piece or this whole journey is, you know, is very, very interesting. It's an amalgamation of so many things. And one important aspect of this piece is user research. And I personally enjoy that phase a lot, wherein, say, for example, you have to solve a problem like you have to solve a problem wherein you have to predict, like, will your customers, you know, end up paying the premiums at the end of the month? Or maybe can you predict whether they will default or not? So very simple problem that is often available on a lot of platforms. To solve even such a small problem, or which is a very straightforward problem, you have to actually understand what is the user base for that particular organization or that particular, you know, company that it is trying to solve. Is that, I mean, what sort of user segments are available? When I'm saying about defaulting, it is more close to a loan, a lending problem, wherein a loan is given and if the person will pay his EMIs on time or not. That is what we are trying to determine. So we have to actually go much beyond, you know, just 1-0 thing, 1-0 tagging across every customer to understand, I mean, why is this 1-0 kind of situation happening altogether? What are the critical issues? What is the gray area that the company is trying to achieve? So if they basically get this answer of, okay, there is the default rate in my organization is right now 7%, and probably they have to determine whether it is high or low. I mean, how are they going to benchmark this? Also, if they have to, you know, go further and understand, like, okay, prediction to ho gaya, but now my target is basically how can I lower down this 7% to 4%? Is it possible? Are there ways? So these are some areas which are beyond data science, and I feel this is like very interesting piece, because once you start getting a hook of these things, right, what exactly is the problem that organization is facing and what is that gray area that for which you are trying to give a predictive, prescriptive or a diagnostic solution, then basically you actually start evolving in that process of business, and then you can actually expand your horizon, not only deep, which is data science, which is like vertically deep, but also start expanding horizontally across lot of verticals, lot of domains, and then that's how your expertise grows. And I feel this T-shaped thing is very much recommended in industry, that go deep, but at the same time keep expanding your horizon. That's like my personal take on real-time problems. They are very, very different from what we actually learn while taking science courses.
So because when we take the courses, we are not really sure. We just feel that, okay, this is the type of data, we understand the data, and we are just implementing the algorithms. Yes. But we don't understand the efforts that go through to and fro with the users, with the business analysts and other things. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they are definitely, the other part is like, it is definitely very domain heavy, but a very interesting piece for every data scientist to, you know, go into. I mean, they will, I'm pretty sure, because again, while exploring that whole journey, you will come across so many things which are data driven that will ultimately help you build a lot of your features or a lot of variables which will be new to your algorithms, which will be, you know, what basically to say, computed variables which will be input to your algorithms. And this computed features are going to be your, you know, like the master killer or the solution giver kind of a thing. Like they will always make your algorithm very, very strong from what your competitors or what your peers are doing right now. So, and hence this whole process of user research becomes very, very important to understand the nuances in the business and find out those extra features which will help you or which will help your algorithm become very, very strong.
This is very insightful.
Yeah, I mean, it's a process, you know, I mean, it's a process that you have to go enjoy and experience. And only then it's like you will actually learn a lot of things out of it. But yeah, that's how it is.
What resources would you recommend to someone who is just starting in the field?
Interesting. First thing I would say is like, if you are like a newbie data scientist or want to get into this field altogether, I feel one thing that you have to learn is patience. Be patient for at least a year and a half. Don't at all think of, you know, like next 3 months mein ye seekhunga and I'll get a high paid job. No, this is like really something which is not happening, and it's I don't say these are like false promises, but definitely I don't think this is going to be an anchoring solution that you will build for yourself, because learning something as quickly as in 3 months and a topic as vast as data science is really difficult. I mean, what max you can learn is you can go to a course, you can see all the algorithms and you will master them, but that's not the right thing. I personally feel you should give that whole period of one and a half year to just grasp what is this field of data science. And then eventually, you know, you must definitely start right from the basics, like get into what is probability, get into understanding how the probability theory works. Because honestly speaking, everything in data science, if you start studying the mathematical reasoning behind it, will roll down to the concept of random numbers. And random numbers is always, it's something that is only associated with probability and probability distributions and the mathematics that goes along with it. So definitely give that time for yourself to, you know, go deep as possible and learn all of these basics. And there are ample of resources available, you know, to study all of these things. And more important than that, once you know, like, okay, what are these basics? Eventually, maybe after 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, try and start participating into hackathons, because hackathons will help you, you know, kill that hesitation ki main predictive cheeze kar paunga kya. I mean, I'm pretty sure every person who has been in this field has gone through this hesitation at least once in their life. Like, can I do this predictive thing? Will I be in the position to, you know, run these complicated algorithms and all? So when you start participating in the hackathons, it is going to give you that confidence. I can do it. I mean, come on, my score is improving with every iteration, yeah, with every a new model that I'm submitting. So that is very important thing, that you have to kill that hesitation as early as possible. And lastly, start getting into communities. I mean, it is very important for a data scientist to, you know, stay connected with their community, because I personally feel data science is not a individual contributor kind of a role. It's a team role. It can never be an individual contributor role, that, you know, somebody comes to you and says, hey, can you help me design a predictive solution? It can never work like a person is sitting in silos and he's designing something or he's solving for such problems. He will have to interact with so many stakeholders around him to understand the, as I said, like the user research part, or what you say, basically the pre-algorithmic part of your, you know, the whole data science problem solving, that you need people around you of different perspectives.
Perspectives, yeah.
And perspective building is another very important thing for every data scientist, because ultimately, what data science is going to help is, like, it is going to help you build a strategy to solve some business problem using data. And hence that building strategic thinking and perspective building becomes a very, very important thing. So that's how I'll put this journey is like start with basics, then steadily start participating into hackathons, find a community, join them, keep talking to them, start participating as a team in few of the hackathons. And most importantly, keep solving case specific questions which are available on internet at a lot of places, which will help you think in a strategic manner. And then eventually, then it becomes very easy. You are in an interview, you will definitely be very different from a normal data science person who says, I know logistic algorithm or I know
boosting and I know LSTM. Yeah.
Ultimately, I feel this, even in the field of data science, this whole process of modeling and deriving results is going to be commoditized very soon. Very soon. We're not very late here, you know. I mean, like in a couple of few years, you will definitely find that there are products which are in this space, which are helping you to, you know, just indulge or ingest your input variables, and something will happen and you are going to get your output variables. So basically what at the end you will have to understand is like, how strong should be my input variable? How beautifully should be the distribution of my data? And whatever happens in that black box, after that, whatever output I'm getting, how should I analyze it? So at the end, you will have to master these two techniques very, very beautifully. If you are into the service industry, definitely if you are into the research field, this black box becomes a very different thing altogether, because then you will be researching on these algorithms. But at least for a broader mass, which will opt for the service industry, will have to focus on the input variable part and analyzing the output altogether. So yeah. The answer to your question is patience. You have to give, you have to be patient and have to give like umpteen amount of time for yourself to reach that level.
So what does the tech community looks to you from a woman's perspective? Because usually there are biases, right? Usually the males are the opinion a female cannot code or a female cannot bring in something which is like, wow.
Yeah.
So have you experienced anything of that sort, and what are your views on that?
I actually want to transfer this question back to you. What do you feel? I mean, have you witnessed any such situations?
When I started as a big data developer, I have experienced a lot of comments from my colleagues who joined with me that you are a girl. Are you sure you will be able to code so much? Are you sure you will be able to handle so much of the data? But I did not really respond to that. And with the passage of time, they realized that, yes, I can do it. And there has been scenarios when those people were facing certain issues. Those people came up to me and those were like, hey, Tanshi, can you please help me with this? And I was very happy to help them.
Yeah. I mean, I guess now then all girls have to think like you and me.
Yeah.
The thing I would say is, I mean, there are biases. I would not say that they are not. There are biases. But at the same time, honestly speaking, if we, you know, look at the past from where we are right now, things are improving. I mean, imagine today, like girls like you and me in urban cities, they have access to everything. They have all kind of digital accesses with them, and nobody can stop. See, I feel like, I mean, a woman, if she is determined, I mean, nobody can stop her from learning if all these accesses are available, right? I mean, definitely, I mean, there are, as you said, like, there are biases. People do think, people do have very different opinions about women leadership and all, I feel like it's on our shoulders, you know, that we have to change this perspective. I mean, I strongly follow, or rather, I'm a fan girl of Sandberg, the CEO of Facebook, who has written a book called Lean In, and I recommend all the girls to read that book, because it is like a superpower, I would say. I mean, there are so many tips that she gives. There are so many things that she explains in the whole book which is actually is like US is not so different from India, man. I mean, things are so similar when it comes to problems for women. And and ultimately, I mean, the statement that she makes that in the future, there will be nothing like women leaders because there will be only leaders. Yeah. Right now, we have to make a mention that there are women leaders. But in the future, this is really going to change. And that is a very strong statement, I feel. There are challenges, but I feel we all will overcome.
Yes, I also believe that we'll do that. And one day we will just have leaders.
Yes.
Irrespective of the biases.
I mean, that was like the ultimate statement I heard. Like, yeah, there will be leaders. There will be nothing like women leaders or, you know, male leaders or like that. There will be leaders. And that is definitely going to happen soon. So we all have to, you know, work hard for that. Yes.
Possibly really hard just to remove the gap that has been in people's mind from so long.
Yes, I agree. I mean, there are parities, there are problems, but this is going to improve.
We can and we will do it.
Yes, we have to.
Yes. So, what are your views on entrepreneurship? Because your LinkedIn reads that really passionate about entrepreneurship and leadership. Would you share something on that?
It's an interesting field altogether. I mean, if you ask me, do you want to be an entrepreneur? I'm not sure yet. But I wish someday I could be. I would be. Because honestly speaking, it's a whole lot of journey. I mean, and I really respect, I mean, not only female entrepreneurs, but any entrepreneur that, you know, takes this whole toll on themselves and, you know, gets into this hustling journey, because that's not an easy journey. So definitely on female entrepreneurs, more the merrier is what I always say. I mean, if you just go to this website of your story, you will find that it keeps on putting so much content around young women in entrepreneurship, young females in the entrepreneurship, that you know, it's feels very, very mesmerizing that things are, I mean, nothing is limiting anybody today. Not the education, not the background from where they come. Not you know, racism. So I mean, there are any social things. Nothing is restricting anyone. It has gone from, it is just growing. It is just evolving. So there are so many women who are, you know, building up interesting products in the field of cosmetic and makeup. I mean, nobody would have thought about this whole field the way people are thinking about it right now. Or take an example of you know, weddings or events. So much is happening in this area. I mean, definitely after the COVID thing, a lot of things will pivot. But yeah, I mean, there are so many females who are entering this field, and I respect them. That's what I would say.
So are there some concerns you feel about the data science community? And if so, why?
Concerns?
Yeah.
I mean, only one concern, or I would say, is that, like, don't restrict yourself just to algorithms. Go beyond that, because algorithms will definitely help you solve a data specific problem, but there are so many things that surround this, right? From building the ETLs, right? From building the right data lakes, the area that you are working in, the big data space, or the area, or building up the right set of data lakes or the data warehouses. This is a very critical thing for data science to start, right? Data science cannot start without data. So the concern that I have for data science community is, right now everything is very much restricted to, you know, doing some beautiful coding on Python and, you know, just rolling out intelligent models using the smart algorithms that are available. I feel the life is or there is a lot of interesting thing that happens beyond this, and people should also focus on areas like big data, the whole process of warehousing, the cloud solutions, and more important than that, getting beyond predictive algorithms to prescriptive solutions. Because ultimately, prescriptive solutions is the area where, you know, eventually the world will start going into. So, yeah, I mean, just don't focus on algorithms. Go beyond that. That's my small take.
Yeah. Have you faced anything which you felt that it was a mistake, or I should not have gone through this path, or something like that, that you would want the starters in this field to take, like, something sort of precautionary measures?
I would say, like, something that, okay, I would say if something has to be changed in the way that I did my career here, I would say be financially independent as early as possible in your life. And once you get that financial independence, you are actually set on your, you know, larger goal of what you have to achieve in your life. I mean, definitely I would say see your career that it's different from the job. It is very different from the work that you do. Career is much more self-evolving. It is something which is very, very near to you. And I feel I did take like few initial years of my life to realize that job and career are very different. Like, these are two different things, dear. And, you know, you have to really think about long-term things to build your career. So simple, a very simple quote or other, a lesson that I got to learn from, you know, DJ Patil, is that dream in years, plan for months, evaluate in weeks, and ship daily. So it's a very beautiful concept altogether, which says like you have to dream big, you have to dream for your, you know, ultimate things in life from today, from day one.
Yes.
And you have to plan for it in months. It is not possible that things will change overnight.
So
you have to plan for it, you know, in months. And once you plan in months, basically you start building up milestones at a monthly level, and then basically you have to evaluate in weeks. Start evaluating what is the progress that you have done in weeks. And to do that progress in weeks, it is very important to ship daily. But you have to keep moving, constantly keep moving. And when you are set on this path, right, it is basically like you are on a mission. So small hiccups here and there, small criticism, something which has really gone off, a job which actually you never wanted to do, does not bother you much, because you are not, you know, you are not on a mission of a short-term achievement. You are on something which is very, very long-term. And to reach that, you know, you will have to, you know, try out options at times. You have to keep experimenting. You have to hustle at every point, right? So, as I said, like, as early as possible, you will achieve financial freedom. You will be set on this path, because if somewhere down the line you are stuck up in this whole process of, you know, supporting everyone around you and the process of getting that financial freedom, you will still keep thinking job as your career. And this distinction has to happen in your mind as early as possible. And I mean, yeah, it is difficult for everyone. It is not like everybody gets this privilege of, you know, achieving financial freedom at very early stage in life. But definitely try and do that, because that will help you liberate. Then your ultimate motto is not to earn money and help your family or help yourself, but ultimate motto is to do something larger than that. And when you cross that border altogether, you are on a very different level. So that's the mistake, or rather, that's the thing I learned very late in my life. So that's a small piece of advice, I feel. Whether it be a data science journey or whether it be any kind of journey in your life. But yeah, try and set on this path of, you know, get yourself into this mission as early as possible.
Yeah. This is going to be a great takeaway for me and I guess all the readers, listeners that we have. So, where can our readers or listeners connect to you on social media?
They can connect me on LinkedIn. I'm not so active on Facebook, I'm very active on LinkedIn anytime. And I make sure that any message that is delivered into my inbox, I'll reply to them whatever it is. I mean, whatever is the honesty that, or whatever best I can help, I'll make sure that I reply to them. So that's the promise I can give. And they can connect to me anywhere on LinkedIn, anytime.
So, what was your experience that you have been from the past few years? You have been working on real life scenarios which are making difference to the society. Right? Each and every person is working for something which has to be implemented in real life. But whatever you have been working on has really created a huge impact on the society. So how does it feel?
How does it feel? Okay. It feels great. Definitely it feels great, but I feel there is so much to achieve from here. I mean, the journey is very long. That's what I said, like when you start working on a plan or on a mission which is beyond just earning for yourself, things actually change a lot. I mean, you actually start thinking about the very larger problems of society or maybe organization, and that actually helps you evolve in all aspects of life. If I have to elaborate on a particular problem, I mean, the cases or the youth cases that I solved at Mahindra and Mahindra were amazing, because they actually were not only data centric solutions, but more than that, it was more like you have to, you know, closely interact with all sort of stakeholders, may it be your customers, may it be the CXOs of the organization, may it be somebody who is running the marketing campaign for that whole thing. So, it's basically like solving a problem that creates a huge impact. It may be a revenue impact. It might be process impact, process improvisation impact. Or it might be as simple as that, solving for a situation wherein a technology is giving some easy solution, or what I will say is an automated solution altogether. So the impact has to be very, very strong. And I think that impact has to be also well defined in advance. It should not be like you start with something and then you eventually realize, I don't know where I'm going. So the whole process has to be, you know, planned out in snippets so that you ultimately reach the correct impact. That's what I would say.
So with that amazing note, we come to an end. I think it's a really amazing and great session with so many takeaways. Thanks for joining and sharing in so much. I hope the listeners will benefit a lot from this as much as I did.
Okay. I'm thankful, dear. I mean, I feel so happy about women in data science community. I'm really, really proud to say this, that these girls have been doing it for last 4 years and they have been constantly improving at every stage. I mean, every year it comes with a very different format. It comes with an evolved format and they have larger audience. I mean, nothing can be as great as this, right? I mean, this is very equivalent to what entrepreneurship is also about, right? Like you have to keep evolving at every stage, at every year on year. So, I mean, kudos to you. I mean, I really feel very, very proud when I see all of you working for Women in Data Science. So, yeah, it's a nice thing. Keep continuing with this. It's always good to give back.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, dear. Thanks.